She left the house that morning to run a few errands. It would only be a quick trip. But when she returned home a little while later, she found her son laying in his crib, and he was cold as ice. Welcome back. I'm Cassie, and this is A Wicked World. So the story I have for you today is another one out of Australia. I found this case when I was looking up the Darcy and Chloe case that I just did. The little boy in today's story was the victim of yet another horrible boyfriend, and the reason why he was murdered is one of the craziest I've ever heard. This is the story of Silas Lighthead. Silas Lighthead was born on May 8, 2012 in Victoria, Australia, to his mother, Katie Lighthead. He also had two other siblings, however, neither of them lived with Silas and his mother. Silas was described as a happy but calm baby who loved to explore and get into things. In late September of 2012, when Silas was 4 months old, his mother, Katie, met a man named Paul Ta Wong at a drug rehabilitation center named Odyssey House, where they were both currently residents. And the reason they were both there was also the same. Heroin. Paul had actually begun using heroin when he was only 13. And when he was 20, he would begin using it intravenously. Somehow, however, he had managed to keep a clean criminal history, and he had held down jobs at both Optus and ANZ Bank as an investment advisor. So Katie and Paul would fall in love only days after they had both been released from the rehab center. Katie would call Paul her angel. Things in their relationship started out great at first. They both decided that they wanted to stay off of drugs for good this time, so that they could have a happy future together, and so that Silas would not grow up in a drug-riddled environment. Unfortunately, their newfound sobriety would only last a few months, and in February of 2013, they would begin using again, multiple times, every single day. This had caused a huge strain on their relationship. Not only did the couple fight about who was going to buy the drugs, but Paul had partially blamed his relapse on Katie. Paul had also gone through all of his savings money, and he was now borrowing money from his parents to keep up with their drug habit. And he was under the impression that Katie was most likely using more than her share of the drugs. Now, Katie and Silas lived in Richmond in a public housing flat. So Katie and Paul did not live together at this point, but Paul would be over the house often. Now, on a normal weekday, Katie would drop Silas off at a childcare center in Richmond between 8:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. Then she would return home and spend the day using drugs if she had any, as well as watching TV, and would pick up Silas later around 5:30, 6 p.m. Not sure why you would need a daycare every day of the week when you're just sitting home and not working, but it's none of my business, I guess. On the morning of May 15, 2013, Silas would wake up not feeling well, so Katie decided to keep him home from daycare that day. Silas was actually suffering with gastroenteritis. Later that morning, Katie had to run a couple errands. Errands being getting some yogurt for Silas and some heroin for herself, so solid. Paul was at the apartment that day, however, so she asked him to stay home with Silas, and Silas wasn't feeling well. She didn't want to take him out. Paul agreed, so Katie left and told him that she would be back shortly. Before Katie got home, Paul thought that Silas was looking tired, so he decided to put him in his crib for a nap. Upon Katie's return home, Katie prepared some heroin for the pair to use. A few hours later, after Paul and Katie had woken back up after passing out from the drug use, Katie went in to check on Silas, but he didn't respond, which was odd, because usually even when Katie just touched the door to his bedroom to open it, he would jump up and start talking to her. But this time when she had opened the door, he didn't move or respond to her. Katie went over to Silas's crib, and when she picked him up, he was cold as ice. She ran out of the room screaming for Paul to call 000. And after a little bit of hesitation, Paul would call for an ambulance. Emergency service paramedics arrived at Katie's apartment around 4:40 p.m. When they got there, they found Silas, cold and not breathing, Unfortunately, there was nothing they could do for the little boy, and he would be pronounced dead on May 15th, 2013. Upon the arrival of police to the scene, one officer noticed that Paul was packing a bag, and he seemed under the use of drugs, as he appeared drowsy and was slurring his words. When the officer went to speak with Paul, Paul would tell him his version of what had happened to Silas that day. Paul told the officer that prior to him putting Silas to bed, he had been carrying him out of the bathroom when he bent down to pick up a towel off of the floor. However, he tripped over the towel and dropped Silas, and he says that he believes Silas hit his head on the floor at that time. Then, Paul would reenact exactly how it had happened, showing the officer how he had had Silas in one arm and then reached down to pick up the towel, but had lost his balance. Police would also find Unisom tablets in the apartment that they believed had been used by Paul. Unisom could be used as a heroin substitute. So Paul had been using this Unisom because he hadn't had any heroin since the previous day, and he was fiending for it. So he had injected the Unisom to hold him over until Katie got back with the drugs. Yes, it gets injected. Ugh. So Katie believed that her one-year-old little boy Silas had died of natural causes. She said that she thought maybe it was SIDS or something else. She never suspected any foul play. But the story that Paul had told to officers about him dropping Silas in the bathroom, he had never said a word to Katie about. And soon, Paul's account of what had happened to Silas that night would come into question. Once Silas's post-mortem examination was done, it revealed that the little boy had extensive bruising throughout his body, a laceration to his liver, and 17 puncture wounds to the bottom of his feet, though it's unknown what kind of weapon caused these puncture wounds. And CAT scans found that Silas's skull had been fractured several times, and his body would show signs of previous fractures in his arms, legs, and ribs. He had died from blunt force trauma to the head, and his death was ruled a homicide. So according to this autopsy, Silas had been abused prior to the day that he had died, which also makes me wonder if the reason why he was sick and vomiting was not because he had some kind of stomach virus, but rather because he had a head injury. When police spoke with Paul, he would stick with his original story, the towel on the floor that he had slipped on and dropped Silas. Paul said that Silas had either hit his head on the carpet or the tile. He wasn't sure. He also said that maybe he had fallen on him when he dropped him. He's a one-year-old baby. I think you would remember if you fell on him or not. But the thing was, the forensic pathologist who had performed the autopsy on Silas did not believe that his skull fractures had come from just a simple fall. He said that the fractures on Silas's head were extensive, and the fracture pattern was too great to be from a simple, uncomplicated, low-level fall. And then Paul claims that Silas was still breathing when he had put him in his crib that day. Paul said that when he had put Silas to bed, he had been wrapped up in his blanket with his eyes open and he was breathing. However, the police believe that Silas had been dead prior to Paul even putting him down for a nap. Paul went on to explain that the bruises on Silas's body could have been caused by a game that he plays with him. The airplane game, where he would just throw him gently up in the air and then catch him. Right, because the game that thousands of people play with their babies causes extensive bruising. So Paul was placed under arrest. He was now the main suspect. Police would tell Katie that she needed to come to the station with them. And at the time, she had no idea why. Because as I said, she thought that Silas had died from natural causes. So after police told her that Paul had admitted to dropping Silas, she said that she never thought in a million years Paul would hurt anybody, especially a child. Katie said she had thought Paul had been a patient and kind man, and she also said she had no idea that he had been hurting Silas in the weeks leading up to his death. But a neighbor came forward and said in the weeks before Silas had died, she had heard a baby screaming like something was wrong multiple times, but clearly said nothing. And how is it that Katie, who didn't have a job and was home most of the day, didn't know about any of the abuse going on? So Paul was not budging with his story of what had happened to Silas only being an accident. However, when he was being held in jail after his arrest, he had allegedly boasted to two other prisoners about how he had dropped Silas on his head 5 times because he was angry. Angry because Katie was taking too long to get heroin from the dealer. He also believed that Katie might have been sleeping with her drug dealer. So he decided to take it out on poor little 1-year-old Silas. And the prisoner whom Paul had told this to said that after he had told him this story, Paul then picked up the bedding from his cell and used it to demonstrate to them how he had thrown Silas to the ground. That's sick. The case would go to trial in September of 2014, and Paul would plead not guilty to murdering Silas. He accepted moral responsibility for what had happened, saying that it was him who had caused Silas's death. However, it was not intentional and was just a tragic accident. And Paul's defense team, of course, was claiming that the two prisoners who had come forward to say that Paul had killed Silas were just liars. Their client had never meant to hurt Silas, and Paul deeply cared for the little boy. Katie and Silas were his whole life, they said. Paul's defense went on to say that Paul had been withdrawing from heroin, and he had just made a bad decision that he was in a capable state to care for Silas that day. They said it was clearly just an accident because Paul had no motive to kill the little boy. And regardless of Silas being very sick that day, the defense claimed that he was happy and docile when he was with Paul. So it's not like he had gotten angry at Silas. He also loved him like he was his own, his defense team said. He was feeling awful and responsible for Silas's death, and it was time to let him go home, is what they were trying to convince the jury of. The prosecution had a much different theory, however. They believed that Paul had been irritable and angry because he had had no drugs since the previous day, and he wanted revenge on Katie. Paul had been angry with Katie because he was the one who was paying for all the heroin that was costing around $1,000 a week. He was also borrowing money from his mother. He was suspicious that Katie was using more than her share of drugs. And he was suspicious that she was providing sexual favors to her drug dealer. So Paul, in that small window of time, engaged in a severe and vicious assault on little Silas. And contrary to what the defense said, the prosecution told the jury that the day Silas had been left in Paul's care, he was clingy and unhappy. He had been sick, which meant he wasn't sleeping well at night either. He was a baby, and all he wanted was his mom that day. So the prosecution believed that because of this, Paul had gotten frustrated with Silas, and that's how the attack had happened. Also, the laceration to Silas's liver that had been discovered during his autopsy was likely caused by direct blows to Silas's abdomen or by a crushing and squeezing process. It was not accidental. Katie would briefly take the stand during Paul's trial, and she would say that she had never had sex with her drug dealer, and that Paul had never to her face before accused her of sleeping with him. Justice Emerton said that Paul had deliberately caused at least one severe impact to Silas's head, which had resulted in his skull breaking into a number of pieces.
She would say,
"I find that you not only caused injuries to Silas's head, but that you delivered blows and/or jabs to his body. The deliberate infliction of injuries of this kind is difficult to comprehend." The justice believed that the only plausible explanation for Paul deliberately hurting Silas was that he wished to express his anger and frustration with Katie. Paul had been entrusted with Silas's care, and he broke that trust and used a tiny, dependent, and defenseless child to vent anger towards his mother. And at some point during Paul's trial, his defense added in that Paul had been donating a portion of his prison earnings to the Royal Children's Hospital. And they also submitted references detailing Paul's real skill with children and his desire to make children happy. Okay. But in the end, the jury would end up siding with the prosecution, and Paul Tae Wong was found guilty of murder in September of 2014. And he actually received a fairly big sentence compared to the other ones that we've seen out of Australia. He would receive a 25-year sentence and will have to serve at least 20 of those before he's eligible for parole. It's believed that most of his time, however, will be spent in protective custody. And Paul would try to appeal the verdict of his conviction on the grounds that the jury made an unsafe or unsatisfactory verdict. Well, isn't anybody who gets punished by a jury going to think that it's unsatisfactory? However, the Court of Appeal agreed that the jury had gotten it right and denied his appeal. Silas Lighthead was buried on July 12, 2013 at Northern Memorial Park, Glenroy, Victoria, Australia. And people from the community, as well as the apartment complex that Katie and Silas had lived in, would leave flowers and stuffed animals for the little boy in front of their apartment. Well, thank you for listening to all of Silas's story today. One of the things I don't understand about this is the neighbor who had heard screaming from a baby going on for weeks and said that they thought something was wrong, why they did nothing. And how could his mother not possibly have known about any abuse that was going on to him prior to the day he died? He had broken bones. How can you not know that your barely one-year-old child has broken bones throughout their body? It's terrible. And Silas deserved to be in a much better home environment than he was ever put in. So if you do like true crime and you want to hear it from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below and turn on those notifications too so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thanks for being patrons of A Wicked World. Adina, Allie, Amy, Angela, Angie, Beatrice, Carrie, Catherine, Danielle D, Danielle H, Drew, Eric, Frank, Hannah Rama, Hannah, Kara, Lori, Linda B, Linda M, Marion, Mary, Melissa, Mel, MJ Kelly, Neoma, Power 31312, Ray, Shayna, Cheyenne, Stephanie, Susan, Suzanne, Tammy B, and Tammy S. You guys rock. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app.